Now, the first comment that I received when we talk about the passage this morning, or rather the title this morning, we have many international friends with us. How many of us are Hokkiens? Just wave. Hokkien lang, they call it Hokkien lang, yes. Right? If you are a Malaysian, most probably you have heard of this phrase here. Alright? I try my best. I'm not a Hokkien, I'm a Hainanese. It's pronounced as Ho Se Liao. Alright, it's pronounced as Ho Se Liao. Okay, I'll go on to the message and the meaning behind it later. But the first comment that I receive is that, Pastor, why your topic today so cringe? Why is it so embarrassing? You know, like, why is it Hokkien, too Malaysian light? Alright, we'll go to that later. Now, of course, if you notice, it's very obvious that there's a word horse there. If you manage to catch it, alright, there's a year of the horse. And I try to blend in, you know, to make things fun and that we can learn from the passage this morning. Now, for our friends here, if you are joining us for the first time, we are starting off with a new series where we talk about service in the church, Christian service. And the first Sunday of the year, we talk about the foundation of all service, which is based in love. And this is like the gist of it all, where we talk about tongues without love are meaningless, gifts that God has given to you, especially prophecy, knowledge, and faith that is mentioned in this passage. If you have all these gifts, but you are doing it without love, all these are nothing. And giving without love profits nothing. And we do have people, you know, long-term relationship, whether it is a husband and wife or whether you have known each other forever in the same church, sometimes we tolerate one another, and then sometimes we realize that tolerating is a form of love. Now, tolerating in sin is not a form of love, because that is the counterfeit of repentance. If that brother or that sister continue to be in sin and we tolerate them, that is not love. All right, so we covered that. Tolerance basically is saying that we are fine, there's no need to change, but we also have to understand that we are called to change, to be more Christ-like. So if our fellow brothers and sisters continue in sin, we are not to tolerate them, but in love, we are to rebuke them. Alright, so that is what we have covered. And we also covered that ministry that is not rooted in Christ-like love is like a noise, and it's like an activity without eternal value. So we have covered that in the very brief gist of it all in one slide. And after that, the next sermon talks about the posture of a servant, a God-pleasing offering, where we talk about money. All right, Genesis chapter 4, we have the story of Abel and Cain, and this is like the gist of it all. We know that Abel was justified by faith. He knew who God is, and he chose to honor God rightfully. But Cain, on the other hand, knew who God is, but he chose to be unrepentant because he gave out his heart. It's not with God. It's not alongside. It's not aligned with God. And even then, God approached him, asking him to repent, and we noticed that he was unrepentant. And when God gave out the judgment to him, he actually complained about the judgment. There was no sense of repentance, but God, in his mercy, has given Cain life. Life in the wilderness, life away from his presence. Because we know that those that God has given mercy, God will deal with us when the time of judgment comes. And we are called to be intentional and wholehearted in our offering to God as a form of worship and as a form of obedience. Because in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything that you produce. All right, so we cover that. And if I am to squeeze everything further, this could be the phrase, or this could be the essence of it all. Tithing, giving 1/10 of all our earnings, is not about the pressure, because unlike certain churches, we don't keep track. There are churches who keep track of how much you pay each month. We don't do that, all right? Because we know that this is between you and between God. So tithing is not about pressure; it is about a posture of a servant. It is not about fear, but about faith. All right, we are not teaching that if you don't tithe, God will abandon you. No, there's no such thing. All right, it is not about fear, but it is about faith in God, because we know that all that we have comes from God, and God has commanded us to give back a portion, and that is why we give, because we have faith that God will provide for us. And it is not about the church bills, all right? In case you do not know, the tithes, the offerings that we collect is for the electricity bill, the water bill, the aircon, right? To pay the pastors, for ministry, and all this stuff. So it is not only about the church bills, but it is about our heart alignment. If we are aligned to God, it is automatic, quite automatic for us to give, knowing that He is our provider. And we see that God rejected Cain and his offering. He rejected Cain first, because Cain's heart is not with God. So God doesn't want your money before He has you. As we tithe, we are showing that we belong to God. We trust in Him. We have faith in Him. And if He truly has you, giving won't feel like a loss. It will feel like a worship. Intentional and obedient. All right, so that's the gist of it all. As we talk about the first sermon and the second sermon, and as we move into the third sermon, for Chinese, this is the year of the horse. And for many Chinese, if you go to their houses, right, there is this picture, drawings, whichever, that has about 8 galloping horses. It has to be, and usually, it's either at the entrance of the door, pointing into the house, or it is usually at the sitting room. All right, Chinese being Chinese. All right, so the meaning behind it is that the wealth and whatever that the horses represent goes into the house, and that is why it is not placed beside the window. Do you know why? Because you don't want all this, whatever the horses represent, goes outside of your house. All right, so being Chinese, these are some of the things that, you know, they may believe. But as believers of Christ, we understand that God is the one who is providing, and our so-called blessings comes from God alone. All right? So horses, they symbolize speed. They symbolize perseverance, rapid success, prosperity, and fame. And I Googled this, right? I don't understand the meaning behind these 8 horses. And apparently, each of them are unique. I don't know which one is which. But one represents career, the others, you know, children, recognition, health, personal development, marriage, education, and happiness, all 8 of them. And all good things that, you know, that is representing these 8 of them goes into the house. So that's the meaning behind it. All right? So there's this success, there's this career, there's this wealth, abundance, overcoming obstacles, etc., etc., and etc. All right? So for our international friends, brothers and sisters, this is our Chinese culture. And of course, when we talk about Chinese culture, and especially in the Year of Horse, we have many, all right? We have many horse-related Chinese idioms or proverbs. The first one, the first category, talks about good luck, all right? To have good stuff coming in. The second phrase talks about experiences in life, all right? And then the third one talks about the action of the horse. And lastly, it is about what a horse may represent. Okay, and then after that, we have the longer version of it that talks about these good things and all this. And you notice that in Chinese culture, horses are good stuff. They are said to have a spirit of their own. So if you watch a lot of movies related to the horses, you will notice that there's this movie called The Horse Whisperers. Right, they are communicating, and you know, somehow the horse seems to have a spirit that understands. So this is the level, or this is the how, you know, spiritual horses are to Chinese and many ancient culture. All right, and for English, all right, we can find certain English idioms or proverbs: gallop into a prosperous new year. We wish you the spirit of the horse, which is resembling the strength and the energy, and may your career gallop forward. All right. So these are the things that we can say towards one another, being a Chinese and all this. All right. So as we move into the year of the horse, we have to understand what the horse represents so that we can truly appreciate what Proverbs 21 verse 31 is talking about. Now, a horse portrays freedom and wild independence. So when you look into the movies, you know, there are this guy that tries to subdue the horse. The horse is usually seen roaming around in freedom. They were wild, they were independent, they were powerful, they are strong. And we have some science here that says that, you know, a 454-kilogram horse can pull a 7.5-ton weight. That's big, right? I'm 1/10 of the weight, but I cannot pull a 750-kilogram weight. I can't even lift my daughter, which is barely 20 kilograms. So her horse is powerful, a horse is strong. But you too notice that they can be forward going, they can be impatient, and at times they are not submissive because they are wild, they're independent, and they are free. So as we look into the passage this morning, right, we are going to explore the notion of humility, to be humble. All right. So, ho se liao, in Hokkien, it means good, very good, all good now. And in this year of the horse, I ask that we become a very good servant of God. And to be a very good servant of God is one who is humble. One who is humble. So, in the year of the horse, we are called to the powerful, we are called to the purposeful, and we are called to be humble of a well-trained horse in our service to our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we move into the year 2026, may I urge all of us here to serve, because we find our greatest purpose when we are carried into God's work together as a family. All right? So if you have your Bible with you, may I encourage you to turn to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. It is a very short verse. Proverbs 21, 31. Let me read to you. This is in NIV version. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. Victory rests with the Lord. Now, the horse here obviously refers to a war horse. The horse that is trained specifically for battle. It is not those who are roaming wildly and independently in the wild, but these horses, they are well trained for the day of battle. So how do we get ourselves ready for the Lord's service? Now, Hosea, you will notice that L-I-A-O is in dot, 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 right? I can't do Jose, H-O-R-S-E-H, because it's too long. So what I did is instead L-I-A-O, the 4 points that we can learn today. So the first point is to listen, L. To listen for the master's call. To listen for the master's call. Now, Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 5. This is taken from the New Living Translation version. Let me read to you. Verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. Now, a war horse in the scripture is distinguished first and foremost not by its size, but by its hearing. Because service begins with attentive submission. Service begins as we are attentive to be submissive to the Lord. All right? Now, of course, when we talk about listens, right? Before the horse runs, it hears. Rather, it is controlled by the bit. The bit is the thing that is placed in between the mouth, and the rider, using a rein, will control the direction and what to do for the horse, right? And the horse has sheer power, and that power is useless unless we have that connection. In this case, the connection with the rider. And for our case, the connection, our connection with our Lord Jesus. Our power is going to be useless if we are not connected and listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, our sovereign Lord, he wakens me every day. He wakens our ears daily. So the first question that I want to challenge you is that, are we trained to recognize His voice? How do we know this is from God? In the voice of the world, we are in the world, there are trumpet blasts of crisis, there are opportunities here and there shouting out to us, and there are needs, our family needs, that requires our attention as well. How do we know whether we are able to recognize God's voice in the midst of all these blasts around us? Now, as servants of God, may I appeal to you that the first discipline that we need to have is to have an open ear, a heart that is postured to receive instruction before springing into action. Now, if you notice, every time when we pray, it is to come before God, offer our praises to Him, and very often, immediately we move into what we need. God, please grant me this, please give me that. You know, I'm traveling, journey mercy, your blessings, your grace, your mercy. We straight away jump into what we want. And very often we miss out the point that we are to listen to Him also. So let us start our day, not by telling God our plans. Yes, it's good to tell God our plans. But first and foremost, let's start off our day by asking God to open our ears to hear Him. Hear Him. By practicing the discipline of quiet scripture-based listening, which is to have a daily devotion. To hear what God has to say to us first and foremost, then we respond in kind, and we can then offer up our cries to Him, our plans to Him, and ask for Him for His blessing. We also have to be aware that service that is not initiated by His call is just busyness. Our world today is trying to grab us away from the Master's call. The world is shouting really, really loud. And oftentimes people, when they share, they often hear the still, small voice of God calling out. So we need to have the practice, we need to exercise the discipline to listen to the Master's call, because if not, the trumpet sound of the world will drown the still, small voice of God. And we truly thank God because today we have the scripture, the full 66 books that we can always refer to, and they are never changing. The Word of God never changes. We can always come back to the Word of God, and truly, that is a blessing for us as believers today. So the first L, listen for the Master's call. And then the second alphabet is I, ignite the heart for service. God is the one that provides the spirit and the passion for the work that He calls us to do. For some of us, it could be ushering. You know, we like to talk to people, we like to welcome people into God's house. And for the many that we have here, they have a passion for the younger children. That's why they are usually serving in the Sunday school. And very often they miss the service because they are serving your children and your grandchildren. And if you notice that there are also a group of people, they are very gifted in their voices, in their talents for musical instruments, and you see them serving the Lord in the worship team. God is the one that gave us the spirit and the passion. And for some of us, if you are new, you may not know what your passion is. You may not know what you are having, you know, what is your burdens are. We ask that you serve us, because that is where usually God will reveal to you your heart, your spirit. All right, so we have Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spirit fervent, serving the Lord. Some people think that, you know, pastor is greater because, they, you know, that person is standing in front, speaking to the people. And then the ushers, they may be at the side. The Sunday school teacher, they are hidden. Brothers and sisters, we are serving at a different capacity. Your service to the Lord as an usher is not lower than a pastor's preaching. We have to understand that. Never be lacking in zeal. please do not have the self-doubt that you are minor, you are small, you are little compared to the spiritual giants. No, don't ever do that. If you do that, basically, Psalm 20, verse 7 should be a reminder. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You may want to do something great for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. You can do it starting small. Small is never small. Because if you're looking at the chariots, you're looking at the horses, they are powerful, they are great. But ultimately, our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of our Lord. So we ought to start as we are. Spiritual fervor means that you are born in the Spirit. You will be able to notice as you interact with some of our brothers and sisters in this church. Maybe let me point them out to you. When you talk about people, talk to Mrs. Chu. When you talk about young generation, boys and girls, you can talk to Francis and Lena, Sunday school teachers. When you talk about the passion of bringing God's word to the people, talk to AJ, talk to Pastor Sok Ming. You will notice that their tone change. Their whole personality or their whole aura, if you want to put it that way, change when they talk about this. Because God has placed this passion for them so that they can rightly minister to the people in the church setting. We also want to thank God because many of those who are serving, their spirit, they are focused and they are willing. They are the war horse of Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, De Sapa City. The strength is natural, but their spirit is anchored in a focus and a willing manner, in humility, that they surrender to God. So our service is fueled by the zeal that is ignited by the Holy Spirit. We have established that. But for some of us, as we continue on with our life here on earth, whether it's in this church, in our work, in our family, as we serve our family, it's also a service to the Lord. Has our service become just a cold duty? Oh, it's the fourth week again. It's my duty. It's my time again. I have to come at 10:30, smile the people, bring them to the seat. Has our service to the Lord become just a cold duty? So this is something that we have to understand and be reminded, because we are to remember Christ who gave up his life for us on the cross. He struggled with his human will, but ultimately he surrendered to God's will and he walked up the cross. And today, we have the Holy Spirit in us. After we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in us. And if we are truly drying out and having cold duty week after week or months after months, I pray that and I appeal to you to pray for a fresh ignition of the Spirit's fire, of the Holy Spirit in us that will ignite our fire once again. Ignite. A heart for service comes from the Lord. Then we move on to A. Align your will with God's will. Now you notice that in the competition, all right, today's world, in competition, and especially in war horses during those days, there is this harmony between the horse and the rider, you know, because once the rider asks the horse to move, the horse will move. The horse should not move before the rider gives the instruction. So Proverbs 21, verse 31, we have that already. And Matthew 26, verse 39. This is where I've mentioned just now, where Jesus fell to the face, to the ground. In verse 39 says that, you know, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So this is a time where we see that true power is channeled through submission to God. True power comes from submission to God. Now I'm calling you war horses for the Lord. And though our rider is God Himself. So as war horses, we prepare ourselves. We make ready, we train ourselves. But we have to understand also that the victory and the direction belongs to the Lord. We prepare ourselves for service and we surrender to the Lord for direction and to the victory. Now for the many who have been serving, I believe the Lord appreciates you and I appreciate you on behalf of the church. But sometimes the direction may not be what we want. And that is where it is very important for us to come together and to seek the Lord together and to be willing to be submitting to the leadership of the church, which ultimately comes from the Lord. So in Jesus' greatest distress, He chose to align His human will to the Father's will. And we know that the war horse does not choose its own charge. It obeys the rider's subtle command. Our strength, your gifts, your talents, your passion, they are only effective when all of these are fully submitted to God's will and God's timing. But for some of us, we are pulling on the bit. We are trying to run our own race. We are not letting God having the rain. So for some of us, we ask that you will continue to pray for realignment. Not my will, but yours be done. Is there any area in our life, whether it is our service to the Lord, whether it is our relationship for one another, especially during this Chinese New Year, we'll be meeting with our family, friends, relatives. Is there certain relationship that we need to make reconciliation with? Are we pulling our bit? Can we pray that may the Lord's will be done? And the Lord's will for all of us to have reconciled relationship with one another. And lastly, O. Overflow with kingdom impact. Now the result of a listening, ignited zeal for God and realignment is a life of powerful, effective service that will bear eternal fruit. Now, of course, when we talk about eternal fruit, it comes from, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will be flowing from within them. And the verse after that talks about the Holy Spirit being described as the rivers of living water. So you and I, we have already the capacity because the Holy Spirit is in us. The question has always been how attentive we are with the Lord's leading. Because if we are attentive to the Lord's leading, you are to rest assured that your ministry will blossom. Your service to the Lord will blossom because He is the reason. He is the only reason why ministry and churches blossom and revive. But it starts with us. It starts with us. So when we are brought into His service, when we are trained, when we are willing to submit ourselves to the Lordship of His Word, the Scripture, when we realign ourselves with God's will, God doesn't only give us the strength. God will show it out as an overflowing force for the kingdom of God in everything that we are involved in. Now, I want to encourage you knowing that Kepong area is hard ground. And when we say hard ground, it means that it's very hard for Christianity or for our faith to penetrate through. For some of us, we may be sharing the gospel with our families, with our friends for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and sometimes we think that God, have you forsaken this person? When we align with God, regardless of how long it takes, we can continue to have the strength to keep plowing the ground. We can keep going back to the person that we love and tell them about Jesus Christ. Because the strength doesn't come from us. It is from the whole overflowing of the Holy Spirit in us. If we are aligned with God, we will be able to carry heavy burdens for one another. That's where we shared fellowship in the cell group. That's where we come together and pray for one another. That makes us powerful. And all this power is already available in us because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we not only can plow hard ground, we not only can carry heavy burdens for others, we can at once, at a gallop, like a horse. We can move forward with strength and with power. And all this is because there is this overflowing of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, as we look into our character, of course, not all of us are perfect, or rather, none of us are perfect. Now and then, we still show selfishness, jealousy, we still procrastinate in our service for the Lord, we still procrastinate whenever we need to make amendments towards one another. We may be feeling hopeless, worried, having fear in our hearts, we could be impatient, indifferent, and having stress. But ultimately, we have to understand that all this reveals our source. And when we fail, may I encourage all of us to come back to the Lord. We will fail. Brothers and sisters, let me assure you that we will fail. But we do not stop there. We come back to the Lord and tap into the right source once again. And if you notice, on the right-hand side, there are not only nine fruit of the Spirit, but there is this joy of giving, joy of forgiving, and also we have this sense of responsibility in us once we tap into God as our source. When you are absent in your service because you are not feeling well, your sense of responsibility will tell you to find a replacement. So all this comes from the Lord. And for the brothers and sisters who are serving from our own reservoir, you will understand, you need to understand that our own reservoir will dry out eventually. And there's this elder that from a church that I do not agree. No matter what, I live my own truth or I do what works for me. Doesn't make sense. So brothers and sisters, social media is available at our fingertips. Do take note of what some church leaders may say. This is not true, brothers and sisters. No matter what, I live my own truth or I do what works for me. This is not the church. Alright? So not everything that the elders say or a pastor say is true. You have to check it, cross-check it with the scripture. Alright? So be very careful. So we are called to abide in Christ, because if we do not abide in Christ, this may influence us. I do my ministry in this church. This is my area. You don't come in and touch. That is not a church. All right? So be very careful. We are called to abide in Christ because as we abide in Christ, we will know that the statement earlier is false. And as we abide in Christ, we will bear much fruit. And here we have John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in Christ so that our service for the Lord is a supernatural overflow. Because we trust God to provide the necessary power. So wholesale is a posture of a servant, which is humility. And a person who is humble will have love. And a person who is humble will give. And give and give. Not only the tithes, the offering, but you will give your time. You will give your love. And for some of us, With the gift of hospitality, you may choose to open up your house and welcome people to worship. To welcome people into your house to have fellowship together. So open up your house during this Chinese New Year period and welcome people. You can do that. That is also a gift of the Holy Spirit. So L, listen for the master's call. I, ignite the heart for service. A, align your will with God's will. O, overflow with God's kingdom impact. So in this year of the horse, God is looking for willing horses, willing war horses for his service. Not for show, but for battle. Not for our fame, but for his kingdom's advancement. And we pray that all of us, we are the war horse ready for battle. Not within the church, but for battle against the world. To bring forth even more people into the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So will you listen when he whispers to you? Will you ask him to ignite a fresh fire in your heart? Will you align your will completely with his will, no matter the cost? And will you let your life become an overflow of his power and love to a world that needs God's salvation? So may I invite you to offer ourselves afresh in the year 2026 by being brought into his table, a church, trained by his hand, the scripture, and prayerfully all of us will shine his glorious purpose here at KLBC, Desa Park City, together. Will you join us as a church? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the reminder that we are called to listen to your word, to have an ignition for a heart of service, to realign our will to your will, so that, Lord, ultimately our life will be one that is overflowing with kingdom impact to the people around us, because you have called us to be a channel of blessings. Lord, in this season, in the Chinese New Year, Lord, we ask that you will bless our time with our families and friends, the fellowship time, the meal time, and perhaps, Lord, a time where we can open up and have conversations that ultimately we can share of your goodness to the people around us. Lord, we pray for the many lost souls that we are going to meet. Our family members, our relatives, our friends. Lord, we pray that you will give us the opportunity to have this conversation about you. And when that opportunity arises, Lord, we pray for boldness and for courage that we can share and open up our mouth and be your mouthpiece. To be a messenger of hope to the lost and weary. Lord, we pray that you will continue to use us and prepare us as war horses for the daily battles of our life, so that we can ultimately glorify your name, knowing that, Lord, you have given us all that is required, your Holy Spirit that is in us. Help us to be still at times, to listen to your word, so that, Lord, we can respond in kind, that will bring honor to your name. Let us start a day anew, dwelling in your words, in your presence, so then, Lord, we know which direction we ought to go, and that we can always seek your scripture for guidance. I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that is in us, that's enabling us to worship you and to respond to your divine revelation of the scripture. We want to thank you also for the Holy Spirit that enables us to forgive one another and to be reconciled towards one another and to show love, grace, and mercy to those around us. And Lord, we pray that we will be a channel of blessings, the evangelist, the carrier of the good news to the people who need you this Chinese New Year season. We pray for the many who will be traveling. Pray that, Lord, you will go before us, and that, Lord, you will go and prepare the way for us and keep us safe in your hands. Thank you for listening to our prayer. Once again, we uphold our lives unto your hand. We uphold our ministry and service to you in this church to your hand. Pray that, Lord, everything we do, it will be honoring to your name. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.